workers that are here, I honor you. Thank you for just doing what you do and being a part of the kingdom of God and upholding the man of God's hands here. Amen. Don't you love Pastor and Sister Crosswhite? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Isaiah, the 50th chapter. Isaiah chapter 50. I really felt like hell was messing with us today and trying to deceive even while I was preaching. And then I felt in the altar. Now, this is just me. I'm nothing and nobody, but I really felt like in the altar call, people were responding, trying to get what they needed from God, and hell was trying to drown out the voice of God, the word of God. And so God began to deal with me, and I feel very confident before I ever left church today. I had direction for this service tonight, and I feel like we just need to put the devil on the run tonight. Amen. Well, that lets me know I'm right where I need to be, because I was only about half of you. Amen. He said earlier, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Some of y'all have been redeemed, but you lost your say-so. Well, praise God. Y'all are saying, shut up and just preach, please. Isaiah, the 50th chapter and verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Aren't you thankful for that? Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. If you know God will help you and your face is set and your mind is made up, you're not going to live in condemnation. You're not going to live in shamefulness. Amen. If you've got this thing called the Holy Ghost, condemnation has no business in your life. And if you're living in condemnation, you need to be renewed in the Holy Ghost or be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you'll find condemnation has no place in your life. Amen. But verse 8, the writer says, for he is near. Thank you, Brother Schubert, for just confirming what God gave me today. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Now listen, y'all don't know me too well. I'm from the ghettos of Oklahoma City. I grew up in the streets. And what that just means is basically, who want a piece of this? We about to scrap. We're about to bust knuckles. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. That's not arm in arm, that's face to face. Who is mine adversary? You got a problem with me? Let him come near to me. Yeah. You can say all of this when you read the first part. He is near that justifieth me. You get a little fight in you when you know God's by your side. If you don't have the fight in you, you don't forgot where God is today. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? We know who's condemning us. He's the accuser of the brethren. Lo, they shall wax old as a garment, the moth shall eat them. I want to dive into this today and just see if we can help somebody by the help of the Holy Ghost. Only if you'll help me preach. If you ain't gonna help me preach, I'm ready to go eat pancakes and biscuits and gravy right now. So if you'll help me preach, we'll dig into this, and I believe we're gonna leave this house changed tonight. I really feel victory today. Not the kind of victory you lose by tomorrow morning and you back here struggling on Tuesday. I'm talking about victory that you'll wake up with Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, amen. If you're going to help me preach, God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. The question is asked in the scriptures that we have read. Who is mine adversary? Now, for most of us, we can answer the big question here of who, because we read the same scripture that gives us the answer. Be sober and vigilant. Your adversary, the devil. We know who that is. He's our adversary. Ezekiel 28 gives us the personification of Satan. It lets us know he was created in perfection. He was an angel of beauty. He was arrayed in precious stones and jewels. Everybody sees him as the guy in red with the horns and the pitchfork and the long pointy tail. But you got to really read the word of God and understand he was an angel of beauty. Amen. He was an anointed cherub, and he held a position of authority in heaven before he was cast out. And so the who part, the who of this, we can identify. But I believe more importantly, when it comes to reading this scripture, we need to ask, where is the adversary? We know who he is tonight. But I think God is looking today to reveal the location of the adversary. Let me put it to you this way. Again, God has already confirmed this. I had this in my notes, Elder. Many times in this life that we live, we are found asking the question, where is God? We find ourselves in a predicament, some sort of trouble, and we start looking for God and asking that famous question, God, where are you? And confusion begins to settle in. Doubt and uncertainty creep into our minds, and anxiety starts settling in our hearts and spirits, and we're unsettled, and worry comes about, and even depression, and just you name it, it shows up, filling our hearts, our minds, our spirits. And the reality is, we know who God is. At least I hope you do. We know that God will not lie. We know that we can trust him at his word, and we understand when we read that word, it's encouraging to see the words that say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and I'll be with you even unto the ends of the world. And be not dismayed, don't be discouraged, for the Lord shall go with thee. We read the word of God, we know he is forever faithful, he is ever present, he is never far from any one of us, and yet we get right smack dab in the middle of life's dilemma, and we immediately go, God, where are you? Right. Now, I know good and well I'm not preaching to perfect people tonight. Y'all are sitting there looking at this preacher going, no, I've never asked that question. Yes, you have, because you got the same color of blood flowing through your veins as I do. And we have all been guilty of getting right in the middle of it and saying, God, do you have any clue where I'm at? Because I certainly don't know where you are. I want you to understand, and if nothing else, may this be a good old-fashioned reminder today that God is not the author of confusion, but God is the author of peace. Amen. And so the question begs today, in the midst of the crisis and in the midst of the situation and the trouble you're in, are you asking the right question? Because I believe instead of asking where God is, I think we ought to be asking where is the adversary? Because if confusion and anxiety and uncertainty and doubt and unbelief and discouragement and depression begin to show up, and those things are not of God, then we need to consider the real source. Amen. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed today, but I do know this. If it's not of God, it's got to be of something else. And I believe we need to identify the source today. Amen. We were living in Henrietta, pastoring a few years ago. We had a horrible rainfall, severe flooding in the area. They were literally bringing in different ones, search and rescue to get near the lake. People were climbing on top of their RVs that were camping out, and they were getting them out of there because the flooding was so great. And the flood affected many, many, many lives and homes. And unfortunately, it affected my wife and I's home. home. We walked into our laundry room that was about three steps down from the main level of the house, and it connected to the garage. And we found that it was about ankle deep in water and quickly rising. The first thing my wife did was not to try to figure out where the plumber was, who he was, who we ought to call and fix it. That was my thoughts. I was thinking, I can't fix this. We better call somebody smarter than me to fix this problem. But she's way smarter than me, and she looked at me and said, first, we need to find the source. Find out where the water's coming in from. And so I trudged outside in all of the rainstorm, and I found where near the garage the water had eroded out a piece of the side of the house, and it was pouring in. It had flooded the garage. It ruined wedding photos and high school things and all of the life's memorabilia that you collect. It just flooded everything, and then it had seeped underneath all of that into the laundry room. And so I began to find whatever I could, an old tarp, and I just tried to plug the hole and try to do everything I could to stop the water from coming in. And sure enough, the moment we found the source and the moment we addressed the problem, believe it or not, the flood stopped coming in the house. Y'all are looking at me going, man, I was really hoping for something profound, something rocket science-esque tonight. You're going to be greatly disappointed. We're going to get about as elementary as you can get. I promise you that. I want you to catch this quickly today. We need to stop wasting time asking where God is, because we know He's right there with you every single step of the way. He is not the reason you're struggling with doubt. He's not the reason you're struggling with fear. He's not the reason you're dealing with whatever you're dealing with tonight. He's not the reason for the discouragement. He's not the reason you feel defeated. You need to find where the source of the problem is. And you need to ask the question, where is my adversary? Because where the adversary is, turmoil is. Where the devil is, chaos shows up. Where the adversary walks, perplexities are nearby. Everything can be going just fine, running smoothly the way it ought to be, and the devil can get involved and mess everything up. You go all the way back to Genesis. This is how it all started. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God created man and all the things that were there. And then He created that man to have dominion. And here comes the devil. And what does he do? He messes everything up. I'm going to just tell you today, right out the gate, not much has changed when it comes to God wanting mankind to have dominion. And not much has changed when it comes to the devil trying to mess everything up. Amen. But we need to be reminded here today of who we are. I said we need to be reminded here today of who we are. Hallelujah. You understand today, God did not create you to be run over by hell. God never created you to be beaten down by the devil. God never created you to live in defeat and to bow down to the demands of Satan. Baby, we were designed to be the head and not the tail. We are created to be above and not beneath. We are victorious and we are not defeated. There's a reason that we had an upper room experience. God could have filled them on the lower level, but it was symbolic that when you get the Holy Ghost, you come out on top. Woo. There's something about this Holy Ghost thing that when the Spirit of God gets on the inside of you, you don't walk beneath no more. But when you have an upper room experience, it's more than just hallelujah. It's something on the inside. It gets in your mind. It gets in your heart. And you know that you know that you know. I don't live or act like I used to be, because I'm born again in the upper room. That's why Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from the heavens. And then he declared, I am he which belongs all power and in heaven and in earth. And then he turns around to the people that were following him and says, I give you power to tread upon scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means ever hurt you. You got to get this for yourself today. You're not just another saint. You're not just another citizen in the town, but you're a saint of God. You're a child of the King. You've been bestowed with power from on high. Praise God. Likewise, when God told Joshua, he said, Joshua, everywhere that your feet are going to go, I'm going to give it to you. You know what I've discovered? What was good for Joshua was good for me. Man, I tell you, I got my work cut out for me today. Some of y'all ain't catching it just yet. That's all right. That's all right. We're going to take a little time. We'll wait for the pancakes together. I said, whatever's good for Joshua is good for you and me. That means that you can have victory wherever you go. I'm going to tell you something. I felt this in prayer. I'm preaching on the behalf of some marriages tonight. I feel like I'm preaching on behalf of some young people today that you're struggling to obtain real victory. And I'm going to tell you something. If you get a hold of what the word of the Lord is declaring, wherever your feet touch, you can have victory today. You can have victory in your home. You can have victory on your job. You can walk the halls of your school and everywhere your feet go. You can have real victory. You can walk down the aisle of the grocery store and you can have real victory. You can walk down the streets of the neighborhood and you can have real obtainable victory. I'm going to tell you what's gone wrong. We have forgotten what we possess. I know it's true because there's fear and there's intimidating spirits and uncertainty even in this service. I feel it blowing back here today. But I'm going to tell you something. I came on assignment from heaven to preach something back into every heart and to every life that'll listen to the word. You got to hear the word. You are victorious already over anything that hell can come up with. For the word declares, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper because he's already given me power over all the power of the enemy. Are you understanding it now? Hell cannot defeat you. You've already got the power. The devil cannot overcome you. You've already got the power. There's not a demon in hell that can whoop you. You've already got the power. It does not mean they're not going to try, because they are going to try. Doesn't mean they're not going to attack you, because they will attack you. Does not mean they're not going to come against you, because they're going to come against you. It just means when the dust settles, you're going to come out on the winning side. You can stand there and shake every blow off and say, hell, is that all you got? Why don't you give it your best shot? But I'm here to stay with the help of the Lord. I've got an understanding on a Sunday night. I'm not going to be defeated because the Lord is with me. He is near that justifieth me. Well, I just don't understand why it's always a fight, Pastor. I don't understand why we always struggling. It's always an uphill climb. Let me just tell you something. There's always opposition to those headed in the right direction. That just messed some people up because they're saying, man, it's smooth sailing for me. The devil ain't afraid of people that ain't going to go against the flow. Anybody can go with the flow. Anybody can do what everybody else is doing. It takes somebody else, somebody special, somebody Holy Ghost filled, that says, I'm not going with the way of this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Baby, you got to understand, hell doesn't like you, and hell hates you, and everything you stand for. And he's only here to try to kill you, steal from you, and destroy you. But God sent a preacher to this pulpit to remind you, you're going to make it today, because hell cannot touch you because of where you stand. You're not in the Baptist church tonight. God bless their heart. You're not in the Catholic church today. God bless their heart. But you're in an old-fashioned apostolic Holy Ghost field, one God tongue-talking church. It's the same church that God said upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Is there going to be opposition? You better believe it. But you're not going to be defeated because of whose you are. And because of who you are, doesn't matter what comes your way, doesn't matter how intense it gets, you need to stop living with a defeatist mentality. Poor little me. Woe is me. Our generation is cursed with this victim thing. Oh man, I'm going to get in trouble because I can preach about this a little while. This whole business of look at what I'm going through and look how bad it is for me and look at all the things going wrong. No, let me just tell you something. If you'll get in the prayer room and you'll get a dose of the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to be struck with that victim thing no more. You'll be walking around with your head held high and your shoulders squared saying, look at me, I'm a child of the King. You got to say some real prayers tonight and say, God, open my eyes. Let me see what's really going on here today. And you'll find out that the one that's with us is more than the one that's with them. If God be for us, who can stand against us? I'm giving somebody a reason to shout. We have a reason to rejoice. When you remember God is for me. God is with me. God is for us. He is Emmanuel. God is with us. I'm feeling like preaching now. But that being said, hang on just a second. Let's tap the brakes for a moment. I done told you, you can be victorious no matter what. That's a given. That being said, it does not give you a license to mess around with your adversary. I'm gonna be plain today. You cannot afford to gamble and play around with the devil. I've never understood why somebody would want to play games or gamble their soul with the very one trying to take them to hell. I love a good game of Uno. Hope that's all right. I love them draw fours when I get to pull them out and play them on somebody. I don't like it when it's done to me. But I love giving them draw fours, draw two, skips. Let me just lay it on there. But that's fun. There's not a lot at stake there. But you pick up a six-shot revolver and put one in the chamber and spin it. That's a different story. Listen. You can do some things and get away with it and be all right. But there are other things that the consequences are not worth whatever it is you're going to try to do. And you got to watch yourself and be careful, because you can leave a Sunday night high and think everything's okay and I'm victorious. And you can handle whatever comes your way. And I do believe you can to an extent. But it does not mean you ought to be looking under every rock for every devil and trying to see how far you can go and how much you can get away with. Because your soul is at stake. Let me try to drive that point home. I don't look it, but I am Native American. Very thankful for it. But there was an old wives' tale that would go around when I was growing up about a young Native American boy that climbed to the top of the mountain one day to see all that he could see. And when he got there to the very top, he looked at all of the wonder, the splendor of God's beauty and creation. And as he looked off into the distance, he saw clouds billowing and brewing, and a great storm was starting to get riled up. And he wrapped a shawl tightly around him and said, I better get off this mountain. And as he began to make his way down, he looked over next to a rock, and there was a snake coiled up there, and began to speak to the Native American. At this point in the story, I don't need any help getting down the mountain. If a snake starts talking, I'm gone. But the snake looked up at him and said, young man, pick me up and carry me down the mountain. And the young man looked at him and said, no, if I pick you up, you'll bite me and I'll die. And the snake responded, no, I won't. I won't bite you. Don't leave me up here to die. Pick me up. Carry me down the mountain. And so the young man, thinking maybe there's no harm in helping out this creature, he picked up the snake and hid it in his shawl and began to run down the mountain away from the storm. When he got down to the bottom, he reached in, pulled out the snake and set it on the ground. And just as he did, the snake lunged and bit him on the arm. Immediately the young man staggered back. He felt the effects of the venom quickly taking over. And as the world began to go dark around him, he whispered to the snake, I thought you said you wasn't going to hurt me. And the snake slithered away and yelled in the distance, you knew what I was when you picked me up.
That's right.
What are you trying to say to me right now, preacher? You know good and well who your adversary is today. Why in the world would you make room for him in your life? Why would you make place for him? Why would you entertain his words? Why would you allow him to have any say in your mind, in your life? You know who he is. And if you pick him up and start playing with him, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Consider this with me in the very beginning. I personally believe, now, there's a lot more smarter individuals that can clean this up, but this is just my personal belief. I believe the only reason that Eve got messed up in the garden, or at least one of the main ones, is that she allowed the serpent to get close enough to have a conversation with her. Some of y'all think you can allow a conversation to take place between you and the adversary, and you better watch out because consequences are going to come. Well, preacher, I would never do that. You don't really know what you're talking about. You just up there spitting an opinion today. No, I'm here to tell you today that there are some of you that you are already entertaining certain spirits. Some things that you allow. He's already been communicating to you and you don't even realize it. I'm completely submitted to this man of God. He can jerk my coattail. But I'm just going to tell you something. You think it's innocent on that cell phone, but what it is the serpent getting close enough to have a conversation. When nobody sees what I'm typing on the laptop, it ought to be all right. He's already getting close enough to have a conversation. She's just a work friend. He's just a high school buddy. They're just a study buddy. I'm going to tell you something. He's getting close enough to have a conversation with you. And you're already entertaining spirits. And you're running down the mountain thinking it's all right. But there's something on the inside. And it's trying to get you. And it's trying to take you out. Now we got to consider the facts today. The facts are in the Word of God, and the Bible still says neither give place to the devil. There is no stipulation on that. Well, you can give a little bit of place to him as long as it's around the family table at Thanksgiving. You can give a little place to him as long as you're at unsaved grandma's house. Nobody will see what you're doing. The Bible said, we talked about it this morning, every time he opens his mouth to speak, he's lying. Father of all lies. Why would you ever believe anything your adversary would ever say to you? Listen, I have had good friends in my life growing up. They lied to me. And the next time they said something to me, I struggled believing them. And we have this slewfoot joker that comes along and lies to us all day, every day. And some of y'all keep believing him. Please tell me how that makes sense. Why would you let that dude deceive you? Talk down to you. Do you realize this is the one we're going to look at someday and stand and say, is this the one? This is the guy that tried to destroy my marriage. This is the one trying to destroy my family. This is the one that tried to take my children away, tried to take me out, tried to kill me. I just don't understand some people today that can sit through a message about victory and healing and revival coming to the church. They can literally hear the word of God, the voice of God from the preacher, and they can walk right out the back door. And before they shut the car door, they can look over at their spouse and say, well, that's just pastor on a soapbox again. I pastor long enough to have to deal with some of them saints that they walk out the door and say, well, he's just trying to hype us up. He's just trying to do whatever. And that's just his candy stick. And they never take God and his word seriously. And they're the same ones that pray over and over and over again, God, please give me an answer. Give me a sign. Let somebody pick up the phone and call me. And I think God sat there scratching his head going, you were just in church Sunday night. I sent the preacher to give you what you needed. There's something wrong when the man of God is shouting, preaching, teaching the answer and the promise and the help you need from the pulpit, and it does not register. But you can walk out and one little whisper from the devil and you're fully convinced God will never meet your need and God will never hear your prayer and God will never make provision. Preacher can get up, turn red in the face, declare the word of the Lord, and it doesn't even sink into your skull. But you can hear one little whisper from the enemy, and you're fully convinced. Let me just give whoever you are that's dealing with that today a piece of friendly advice. The best thing that any one of us could do today is stay as far away from that devil as you possibly can. And the best way to do that is get in a prayer room. You need to get you a prayer life today. I've heard them say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. I don't know about that, but I do know this. Praying every day will keep the devil away. I do know that. You allow him to make room in your personal space, in your life, in your world, you're going to get messed up. But if you'll get in that prayer room, it'll build some walls. It'll build some safety. Are you hearing me today? Some of you need to go out of this church today, tonight, and put up some spiritual no trespassing signs in the front door, in the front yard of your heart and mind. And when he comes a knock and say, hey, no entry allowed, no vacancy. There's just some things you're not putting in my mind. You're not putting in my heart. You're not putting in my spirit. How many of you enjoy laughing at church? If you don't, you need to go to the prayer room. That's the answer for everything. Just go to the prayer room. People would say, pastor, I need counseling. Have you prayed about it? No? Okay, go pray about it. You know, they didn't need counseling after that. It's strange. Amazing what happens. I love laughing in church. How many of you love Brother and Sister Watson? Now, I got a pick on him because it's my third service and the first one he's come to hear me preach. He's been out in the car listening to the ball game or something. I don't know what he's doing. I'm teasing. He's been doing the work of God. I want you folks to imagine with me today. Now, you look at Brother Watson. He's a pretty tough-looking dude. He got big, broad shoulders. He's a tough-looking fella. If him and his sweet wife were laying in the bed snoozing at 2 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden a loud happened, and he knows the front door just got kicked in. I do not think, now listen, maybe y'all know him better than me. I just don't think he's going to lay there and yawn and roll over and say, and go back to sleep. Not going to happen. I don't even believe he'd look over at his sweet wife and say, baby, run in there and find out what's going on. At least we hope not. I don't even believe that our precious brother in the Lord tonight would get out of bed and go in there and wipe the sleep from his eyes and say, "Excuse me, Mr. Robber. But before you put that in your goodie bag, your to-go bag there of my stuff, perhaps we can negotiate a little bit. You see that china cabinet over there? That's my wife's. I hate those dishes. You can have them. But you see my gun safe over there? If you don't mind, leave that alone. That fishing pole in the corner, that's my favorite. But that over there, that rug, that's hideous. I've never liked that since we got it. You can roll that up and take it. What I'm trying to tell you today is that he's not going to negotiate with a hostile threat. Nor would any man in his right mind allow a hostile threat to walk into the confines of his home and try to take things from himself and those that he loves in that home, posing a harmful situation to those around you and your well-being. And therefore, I have to make the statement today that if we would not allow a hostile threat in the natural home, then why are we giving place to an adversary in the spiritual realm? Or furthermore, we're trying to negotiate with the adversary. You can take my joy, but don't take my peace. You can have my hand clap, but just let me at least go to church. Let me tell you something today. There is no negotiating with a hostile threat in the natural, and there is not one in the spiritual. I'm trying to hurry today, but God really burdened my spirit in asking this question: where are the apostolic men? And I feel safe to talk about this here, that will rise up and say, "You're not coming in this house." Oh, help me, Lord. Where are the men that will pray and seek the face of God? Where are the apostolic Holy Ghost filled men that will plead the blood of Jesus on their homes and on their families? Have we not lost enough? At what point do we rise up and say enough is enough? We don't need a bunch of sissies. We don't need a bunch of Pentecostal pansies. We need real men that'll pray, real men that'll cry, real men that'll fast, real men that'll intercede. The devil knows if he can distract daddy, if he can distract mama, he can get to the babies a lot easier. And listen, every situation's different. Please don't make me qualify and justify. But as long as you can stay carnal and be flesh-filled, that devil can walk right in your home and steal your children right out from underneath you. Mom and dad, are you hearing this preacher today? Would you please take a stand and say, "I don't care who it makes mad. I don't care if it makes you upset, young man, young lady. There are just some things. There are just some influences that we're not going to allow in the home because it's a hostile threat." I can hear one or two young people say, "Well, my mom and dad don't live for God." Well, then you need to make a decision for yourself. Just because daddy don't want it doesn't mean you can't have it. Make up your mind. If nobody else does, I'm going to. For God I live, and for God I die. I don't care what my friends do. I don't care what my family members do. I refuse to make room for the devil in my life. I refuse to give him place in my spirit. He's not welcome in my home, not welcome in my heart, not welcome in my mind. Some folks got a messed up marriage because they gave place to the devil somewhere. Some folks got a messed up life because they gave place to the devil somewhere. Some folks that have walked away from God have only walked away because somewhere they gave place to the devil. I'll take it a step further. Let's make it on a grander scale. The churches that are not seeing the results God wants them to have. They're not seeing the harvest they want to reap. Come on, we can grab a sickle and a plow and all those other things we sing about, and I love every bit of it. But it does no good if we take 2 feet in the field, but behind us we've not made for sure to take care of an adversary that's chasing us down. I'm just trying to identify today what's really going on. I believe this church can have unprecedented harvest. I believe we can break every chain and break every yoke and every stronghold can come down. But somewhere we got to deal with the adversary of our soul. Fighting opposition. Going through a vicious cycle over and over and over. They'll come to the altar. You've seen it. You can vouch for me. I'm not crazy. I've seen them come to the altar, lift their hands, shed tears, walk out in victory. Monday morning, texting you, "Pastor, I just don't know how I'm going to make it." I'm sitting there, "What'd you get last night? What are you not hanging on to what you got? Or was it real to begin with? Are we going through the motions and the ritual? Or are you really getting a relationship? Because those that go through ritual never have real victory. But those that get in relationship have real victory." I told you it's going to be simple today. If you really want to be an overcomer, if you really want to be a conqueror, if you really want to break the cycle, I've got to tell you today, you got to make some decisions tonight. And I promise you the kind of victory God will give you, it'll change every day going forward. Hell has left some marriages in this building hopeless right now. I felt it all day. Marriages, marriages, marriages. I'm going to tell you something today. Your marriage doesn't have to be over like you think it is, as long as you'll make some decisions tonight. Oh yeah, your walk with God isn't over, saint of God. Guest or sinner friend that's here, it's not over for you either, if you'll make the right decision today. Because we've got access to something. And I'm going to tell you, thank God for the man of God, but it isn't because of him. And thank God for you being here, but it isn't because of you. But because we can have real victory is because we have a God that is greater than all that we face. And when you get the Holy Ghost, greater is He that's within me. That's why you got to get the Holy Ghost and stay filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not a once saved, always saved. You got to get saved every day. How come? It's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. You want a breakthrough, you need the Spirit of God. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Doesn't matter how good you are, how good your deeds are, how good your actions are. Real victory comes from Him. That's why Paul wrote, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ." He came to this earth seeking to save that which was lost. Thank God for that. But God also walked this earth manifested in the flesh that He might destroy every work of the devil. And so if you're fighting, and if you're struggling, and if you're under attack, you need to know the answer to the question I've been asking all service. Where is my adversary? We know who he is, but now we need to know the location. Why is that so important? Because God has a specific location the devil belongs. And if that devil ain't where God intended for him to be, that means he's somewhere where he should not be. Now don't check on me now. We almost done. Stop giving place to the devil. The devil does not belong on your shoulder. The devil does not belong in your ear. He does not belong in your mind. And he certainly doesn't belong in your heart. I want the music to come right now. But the Bible lets us know exactly where that devil belongs. There's a place where God intended for him to dwell. The Bible says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet." You want to know where he belongs? He belongs under your feet. And if he's anywhere else, he's out of his place. You want to know what you're doing on a Sunday night? God brought you here not because it's just what you're supposed to do, but he brought you here to help you put the devil back where he belongs. Where is the adversary of your soul? Do you know his location? If he's tormenting you, if he's lying to you, if he's messing with your mind, he's out of his place. God never intended for you to live any other way than in victory. So you got to live in victory and put that joker under your feet. God said, I'm going to bruise. Now, we think bruise, purple spot. You go study this word bruise. It means to shatter, to annihilate, to eradicate, to literally dismantle. That's a lot worse than a purple spot. You eradicate somebody, there is no purple spot. God said, I'm not going to just do this. I'm not just going to crush him. I'm going to do it under your feet. Where's mine adversary? Here's my title tonight, and I'm done preaching. It's not over until he's under. You want the addiction problem to be over? You got to put him under. You want the marriage problem to be over? You got to put him under. You want the struggle to be over? You got to put him under. Some of y'all still are waiting for it. Let me make it real clear. The only thing the devil should have a good view of is the bottom of your shouting shoes. This is revelatory. The devil cannot whisper in your ear if you're dancing on his head. Oh, I've been redeemed, but do you have a say-so? We can clap our hands all day, but can you shout unto God with a voice of triumph? The devil can't lie to your face if you're stomping on his. You got to stop walking around in condemnation, living in defeat. The only time your head ought to look down is to make for sure he's right where I left him the last time. And I'm not going to stop dancing. I'm not going to stop shouting. Let me just tell you, I'm done. If your adversary has been saying things, I wrote this down. If your adversary has been saying things like, your children are not going to be saved. Anybody heard? Any parents heard that? Your children are not going to be saved. This is what God sent me to tell you. Your response and duty should be, you get under my feet. You're never going to be healed of that sickness. Your response ought to be, you get under my feet. God will never deliver you. You get under my feet. God will never give you peace of mind. Baby, you get under my feet. Brother Luis, you'll never get the Holy Ghost. Devil, you get under my feet. Apostolic Lighthouse, you'll never have revival. You'll never reap the harvest. The response of every Holy Ghost field, apostolic saint, ought to be you get under my feet. It's not over until he's under. It's not over until he's under. You ask me where he belongs, I'll tell you. Bruised, crushed, shattered, under my feet. David didn't even have access to Paul. Paul writes, the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet. But David had a revelation hundreds of years ago. Thou shalt tread. That's not tiptoeing. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, your adversary, and the adder, that's the snake, the young lion and the dragon. You know what you're going to do? You're going to trample under your feet. I feel Holy Ghost breakthrough right now. You got to get it for yourself. The Lord has helped me. The Lord has made a way. The Lord has made a place for the devil in my life. It's under my feet. I want every hand lifted and every voice raised right now. We need to take authority. Come on. I'm telling you, I feel spiritual breakthrough right now. Come on, we can change the dynamic of revival in this church right now. We can change the course of your backslidden babies right now. Somebody take authority by the word. There's some husbands that need to take mama by the hand and say, hey, that devil doesn't have a place in our marriage anymore. You need to grab your babies and say, hey, he's not coming in this house anymore. We're taking authority. We're making some change. God's going to help us. Come on, are you going to keep believing the lie of the devil? Whose report are you going to believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. It's not over until he's under. Some of y'all are waiting for something to happen, but God's waiting on you to see what you're going to do. You need to get your shout back. You need to get your dance back. You need to get your say-so back. How bad do you want revival? Put him under your feet. How bad do you want your miracle? Put him under your feet. How bad do you want your breakthrough? Put him under your feet. Come on, don't make your pastor's wife run alone. You need to bind together in unity. Hey, we're going to have revival. We're going to see the harvest come to pass. We're going to see the prodigal come home. God's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Come on, your addiction is not greater than God. The chains are not stronger than God. The devil's not greater than the Holy Ghost. Come on, you're letting intimidation keep you where you are. But God's looking for somebody to step out and say, I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of living beneath. I want to live above. I'm tired of being the tail. I want to be the head. I refuse to be. Come on. Come on. That's it. Somebody move. Somebody get it back right now.
Satan, you're a liar. Jesus has all power. You can't bring me down. I'm heaven bound. Satan, you're a liar.
Jesus has all power.
You can't bring me down. I'm heaven bound. Woo! Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. Jesus Christ. He's Lord forever.
He's Lord forever.
Every knee shall bow. Every is Lord forever. He's the King of kings.
He's the Lord.
He's the Lord of lords. Jesus Christ is Lord forever. Satan, you're a liar. Jesus has all power. You can't bring me down. I'm heaven bound. Satan, you're a liar. Jesus has all power. You can't bring me down. I'm heaven bound. The mountain is high, but it's not too deep. The valley is low, but it's not too deep. I won't turn back now. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I won't turn back now. I won't turn back. I refuse to turn back. I won't turn back now. Every knee shall bow. Christ is Lord forever. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Jesus Christ is Lord forever. Too steep. The valley is low, but it's not too deep. I won't turn back now. The road is hot, but it's not too long. The enemy's near, but he's not too strong. I won't turn back now. The mountain is high, but it's not too steep. The valley is low.
Some of you are one shout away from a breakthrough. Some of you are one hand clap away. You're one dance away from putting the devil where he belongs. Press on. Press on. Don't stop now. Let God know I mean business. I'm going to live in victory. I'm going to walk in victory.
Steep. The valley is low, but it's not too deep. I won't turn back now. The road is hot, but it's not too long. The enemy's near, but he's not too strong. I won't turn back now. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I won't turn back now. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I won't turn back now. Satan, you're a liar. Jesus has all power. You can't bring me down. You're heaven bound. I'm heaven bound. Satan, you're a liar. Jesus has all power. You can't bring me down. I'm heaven bound. report. Will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report do you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says I am healed. His report says I am healed. His report says I am free. His report says victory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory. Thank you. I feel the joy of the Lord. Delivering me, I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. All over me, I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy. Delivering me, I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. Keeping me in bondage to my sorrow and shame. I deserve better. I won't go another day. I'm here to claim deliverance in Jesus' name. I feel the joy of the Lord. In my veins, I'm a child of the King. I've been buried in His name. There is no devil that can come against me. I've been blessed, I've been born, I've been set free. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I have royal blood flowing in my veins. I'm a child of the King. I've been buried in His name. There is no devil that can come against me. I've been blessed, I've been bought, I've been set free. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I'm the Lord, He delivers me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I have been loosed, I've been set free. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I have been loosed, I've been set free. Pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I have been loosed, I've been set free. Pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. Set free. Pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I have royal blood flowing in my veins. I'm a child of the King. I've been buried in His name. There is no devil that can come against me. I've been bought, I've been blessed, I've been set free. I feel the joy. I feel joy. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. The devil's games, keeping me in bondage to my sorrow and shame. I deserve better. I won't go another day. I'm here to claim deliverance in Jesus' name.
I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
Blood flowing in my veins. I'm a child of the King. I've been buried in His name. There is no devil that can come against me. I've been blessed, I've been bought, I've been set free.
the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I have been loosed. I've been set free. No part of me a moment while I have a jubilee. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise and a shout tonight. Can you lift your voice and shout unto God? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The devil will never be your friend.
Never.
Never will he be your friend. The devil will never, never be your friend. The devil will never, never be your friend. The devil will never, never be your friend. Never will he be your friend.
Never.
He will be friendly, but he will never be your friend.
That's right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, brother. And thank you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody needs to slam the door for the things behind you. Come on, slam the door on the things behind you. Things you've been battling just 2 days ago, you need to put it behind you and say, "That I'm done. Victory's mine. Victory's mine. Victory's mine." God, praise God. Hallelujah. You lift your hand, just close your eyes. The Lord's still in this place. The Lord's ministering.
Prove it, Lord.
Prove, Lord, with your glory.
Prove it, Doros. Paros, paros, kadayara. Os, os, bayara. Ah, ikelelo malalala. Aron kondo torvamata. Wehi salabadayara. Ados. Holy, holy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Sella. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Victory, 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 victory. Hallelujah. And you know, a lot of times when we ignore messages like we've heard tonight, we ignore the move of the Holy Ghost. Isn't it crazy? The devil make you feel good. Feel like, see that, I really don't need it. And he knows how to just make it smooth just for a little bit. But when the bottom falls out, when everything starts falling out and you have nothing to stand on, amen, then you realize how great God is. Amen. Hallelujah. I've had people that were in move of the Holy Ghost, that was filled with the Holy Ghost at one time, that let things happen. Things get in their heart. And later on they said they knew better, but they didn't do better. And things took them. They started drifting. Amen. They quit praying. They quit worshiping. And it was amazing how much justification they had in their brain. They could charge and they could find, and they could point their finger with justification and things. But how big a fool they were. Because where they're pointing their finger, they wouldn't check in their hearts. Amen. Tonight, I'm thankful for victory in Jesus. How about you? Victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to pray right now that the Lord would help you to grasp a hold of the message and take it with you. Lord Jesus, help me to grasp and take this with me. Don't let me leave what you have spoken. Lord, activate it in us, oh God, and help us to activate with obedience. Lord, of faith, God, and the compliancy to your voice tonight. Hallelujah, Lord, in your name, Jesus. Give us the power of resistance and an appetite for the Lord of your kingdom. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. We're honored that you're here tonight, everyone. The Schubert, Sister Schubert, those from Huntington. Caitlin, good to see you as well. Amen. We're so blessed. Tuesday night, Thursday night revival continues. Amen. We're so honored. Amen. Tonight in the third building, there's something special that's prepared. Different ones in the church have helped to prepare this. Our college and career group will be helping to serve and clean up. But would you help us tonight? Just don't let them do it all. Amen. Just don't leave your place a mess. Amen. If you could help, it would be great. Amen. And just don't leave it to the same people over and over. Amen. We're so thankful for the privilege of fellowship. Amen. And those that have helped us. Amen. If you had a birthday this month, the month of August, you were born in the month of August. Any birthdays in the month of August, would you come to the front? Oh, you August babies, come on. Oh, we got a little one right here. Birthday baby. 1 year old? Two. Isabel turned 17.
16.
I'm sorry, Izzy. We don't want to age you yet. Sister Lauren turned 20. Plus. Natalie turned 18. 19.
Guessing.
I'm not going to guess anymore, Sister Crossside. I promise you. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? You know what a birthday is? A blessing. You are blessed. Amen. Let's sing happy birthday to these tonight.
A happy birthday to you. A happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you. A happy birthday.
Pray that.
May you feel Jesus.
Let him feel you, Lord.
Every day of the year, we pray God's blessings on you.
you've ever had.
Give them a hand. Praise God.
Amen.
And we want you folks to get to go first tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Next, any anniversaries? Any of you had an August wedding? Right up here. The Browns. R&R Brown. Anybody else had an anniversary? Eleven years. Amen. Let's sing to them.
Happy anniversary to you. A happy anniversary to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy anniversary to you. A happy anniversary to you. And the best year you've ever had.
Do you pray? We pray God's blessings on you.
May you feel Jesus near every day of the year.
We pray God's blessings
on you. We pray God's blessings on you. And the best year you ever had.
Give them a hand. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. We're so honored tonight, everyone. Brother Schubert, we welcome y'all. So blessed to have you tonight. Sister Thomas, she had a birthday. Wednesday, 90 years young. Praise God. So, tonight, Brother Chad's going to come and bless the food and dismiss the service in here, but you're not dismissed from the presence of the Lord. Brother Chad?
Lord, I ask you to bless this food, bless the fellowship, bless the time together. I ask you to bless it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's go to heaven.
Let's go to heaven.
Make sure you greet.
If we could have those that are wanting to go to the youth rally on Friday, this coming Friday, if you could meet with myself and my husband over here, just real quick. We're trying to get a head count. Those that want to go to the youth rally this Friday, meet with us over here. Yeah, youth or college and career.